All right, we are recording. Go ahead, Jim.
I get my screens squared away here.
I thank you, Jim, for doing this. I asked Jim to do this a couple months ago, and he came up with his program. Now, I actually think when we get done with this thing, I'll be able to take it out of the box and probably put it back in later.
Okay, everyone able to see the screen now?
Good to go. Good to go.
Okay. Yeah, Joe had asked me a while ago to do this, and it just happened when he asked me. I already had a Nano VNA on order. Not claiming to be an expert on it, but I did order one and did a lot of playing around with it and put together the presentation for it with the basics on what majority of amateur radio operators would use it for. So it's geared more towards the beginner, someone that's never used one and wants a piece of equipment that is fairly inexpensive that does a lot of stuff. Some of the basic functions are you can test the SWR, return loss, and dBs on your coax, your line loss, length of coax, resonant frequency, frequency range of the antenna, antenna and coax impedance. Most common thing people will be using it for are going to be the SWR. I mean, for $50 to have something that you can test SWR anywhere from HF, VHF, UHF, all the way up into the 23 centimeter and 33 centimeter bands is unheard of. I mean, for anything else, you're going to be spending $500 or more. I know I have one antenna analyzer that was $400 from Comet that only does HF, VHF, and UHF, and it's not exactly the best piece of equipment, but it does the job. When you first get the Nano VNA and use it, you're going to want, every time you use it, you're going to have to calibrate it. So one of the first things was step-by-step on calibrating it. Majority of them will come with the standards for calibrating the Nano VNA. I recommend getting ones outside of the ones that come with it. Out of three different Nano VNAs that I got, the supplied standards ranged anywhere from the load standard, ranged anywhere from 44.6 ohms to 57.3 ohms. And as you know, with amateur radio, everything, you want it calibrated at 50 ohm resistance. So that's one thing to considering. It will work if you will be able to get fairly close readings. It won't be exact. First step in calibrating the Nano VNA, after you turn it powered on, and if you tap up towards the upper right portion of the screen, it'll bring up the menu, the display marker, stimulus, calibration. Tap on the calibrator, CAL, and that'll bring up the sub menu to where you'll see the calibrate menu item. For majority of the testing and use of the Nano VNA, you're only going to use three of the five calibration modes or methods. First, you will be first one in the list is the open standard, which is just you calibrate it to open. There is no connection to anything, no antenna. Next will be the short, which is where the 50 ohm standard comes into play. It calibrates it to 50 ohm resistance. Then you have the short is the shorts the outer shield of the coax to the center feed line of the coax. The load is the 50 ohm resistance. And I forgot my radio was on. This is where the supplied standards aren't exactly the best. The short and the open are obviously, there's nothing that can be wrong with them. It's either shorted or it's open. After you do the load test, you can press the done button located at the bottom of the list. As you go through calibrating each section, it will highlight it to show you that that portion of it's done. The through calibration, and that is not necessary for testing SWR and everything else. Those go more into play when you can test different pieces of equipment. You can frequency. Now I'm drawing a blank on everything, but you can do a lot more with it. When you for testing SWR, when you first turn it on, you're going to have five different traces on the nano VNA, and with a small 2.5-inch screen, it is very busy and hard to read. I suggest going through and disabling all but one of the markers for what you want to test, if you want to test two things, leave two markers on. But to test SWR, you power the nano VNA on and calibrate it if it's not done already. Then you go through and set the start and stop frequency for the band or section of the band you want to test. Do that, you press the upper right corner, will bring up the menu, and press the stimulus to set the start and stop frequencies. You can enter the frequency in either kilohertz, megahertz, or gigahertz. The nano VNA I got goes from one 50 kilohertz all the way up to 1.5 gigahertz. After you set the start and stop frequency, you connect it to the antenna, or you can connect it prior to setting it, but make sure the antenna is connected to the channel zero portion of the nano VNA. Once the antenna is connected to the connection, it's tightened properly and secure. The proper way to do it is use a torque wrench. A lot of people will be able to do it without using a torque wrench. It requires the proper torque for majority SMA connectors is 5 inch-pounds of torque. It's hard to achieve just with trying to go finger tight unless you have something attached to it to give you a little bit more leverage. Even though it's only 5 inch-pounds, something that small is a little bit harder to get accurate. Select the format you want to test, such as SWR, under the format label. Again, that is going to be in the menu on the right-hand side. After you do that, you can tap anywhere on the screen and it'll be displayed on the screen. You can drag the marker. This is, stylus is very handy for that because the screen is so small. If you use your finger, it tends to jump around a lot. Use a stylus, you can drag the marker back and forth and it'll display what frequency the marker is at and show you the SWR or the log mag or Smith chart, depending on which you have up for testing. I found it a lot easier to connect it to a tablet or a PC. You get a lot more information and a lot more functionality out of the Nano VNA. I use it with a small 10-inch Windows tablet. It makes it a lot easier to read and understand. If you use the Nano VNA on it on its own without being connected to an external device, the internal battery will last 2 to 3 hours, which is plenty of battery life for testing antennas out in the field. It's not something that's going to be turned on and left on for hours on end. It's turn it on and generally have it on for 10, 15 minutes and you're done with your testing. If you do connect it to a tablet or PC or laptop or anything, it will draw its power through the USB connection. So you won't use any of the internal battery. It'll actually charge the battery for you while you have it connected, which is a nice feature. When you look at the different pictures displayed, there's two different programs that I found. One is the Nano VNA Saver and the other one is the Nano VNA Smart. My personal preference is the Nano VNA Saver just because it, to me, it's a lot cleaner display and shows a lot more information without having to switch between displays or changing any of the settings. But again, that's up to you what your personal preference is. Mine is the Nano VNA Saver. The Nano VNA Saver is an open source Python program that's available for download at GitHub or a few other places. And there's some links there. I believe Darren put these slides up on the website also, so you can get it and get to the links. There's additional resources. It's also available for Windows, Linux-based devices. It's a Python script, so it's pretty universal. If you can program, you can pretty much put it on any device you want. When you're testing a dual band antenna, this is one example that I had where this is testing my Diamond X200 for my dual band on my base radio. There's 101 points on the Nano VNA that marks a reading. If you look at the picture with 101 points testing 140 megahertz through 450 megahertz to get both the 2 meter and 440 in there for the dual band. Everything is scattered all over the place and very hard to read. I mean, you can definitely see the low points and high points in it, which gives you a reference. But beyond that, it doesn't give you too much of accurate information. One thing I do, once you get your low points, reduce it to test a single band. This one, you can see I changed the sweep from to 144 megahertz through 149 megahertz to cover the 2 meter band. How much cleaner the lines are and drawing is and everything. And then you can see the low point. The VSWR is 1.2:1 SWR at 145.13 megahertz. And all these images are using the Nano VNA Saver on a tablet or PC. Another thing you have also gain with the using an external device such as a tablet or PC is the TDR function, the time domain reflectometer. It'll give you the estimated length of the coax you are testing, along with being able to test for the impedance and everything else in the coax. Gives you the approximate length, as you can see from this one, the coax that feeds my HF antenna is the RG8X or the LMR240. It estimated the length at 77 feet, 8.7 inches. The physical measurement of that coax is 77 feet, 10 and a half inches. So it's very accurate on testing the length of the coax. I did it both with three separate pieces of coax, and all were within a half a percent variation. And so it's will give you a very good description and estimate on the length of the coax you're testing. This is just additional resources you can use. The coax loss calculator, NanoVNA Saver download, Linux platform help, NanoVNA Smart. There are quite a few videos that go into more in-depth and more technical aspects of the NanoVNA. Like I said at the beginning, I just wanted something for basic use, which is what a lot of people will be using it for majority of the time. You can get into testing filters and roofing filters and bandpass filters and everything else with it, which is a lot more technical and something that'll be covered in a future one. And that as far when you start getting into testing filters and everything else, that would just testing a low bandpass filter could be an entire presentation. I mean, it's a lot more in depth. The NanoVNA is very useful and very inexpensive. Average price between $45 up to $150, depending on the version that you get. The one I got was it was $78, just because I wanted the extra bandwidth on it that goes up to the 1.5 gigahertz versus the 900 megahertz version. With that was the end of it. Any questions, comments?
Yeah, I got a question for you. I had one question.
Okay.
How fast is the retrace rate on this? I know, like for filters and some different things, you need the sweep rate to be fairly fast if you're doing something. Does this take a while to do the initial sweep, or is it real time enough that if you were doing a filter, that you could make an adjustment and see the results real time?
Everything that I have done with it, it is near real time. I mean, it's whenever, if you're doing it in a, obviously the longer the sweep that you're doing, like with the sweep for the 2 meter all the way through 440, so 140 megahertz up through 450 megahertz took a couple seconds to do that entire sweep. Whenever you do a sweep, say for just the 2 meter band or a single HF band, to where you're only talking about maybe 1 megahertz or even 500 kilohertz, it's near instant.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I know the couple of that I've used that were a little more expensive, you know, make it difficult to tune a filter, because it's not as much real time. So it's good to hear that this is a little quicker if you've got a smaller span. Thank you.
Okay.
Jim, do you have any experience with the F version at all?
I don't. I was actually going to buy one just to see if there is a difference. Everything I've read and seen about them, the big difference between the standard, which is I think it's the N version or K version or whatever it is, and the F version is the bigger screen.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. As far as the circuit board and the PCB and everything else, it's the same. They just put a bigger screen on it.
What about the switch versus the knob? I've heard that there's a version 3.1 hardware that uses little switches that make it work a little better when you're trying to manually change the frequency or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the knob or little knob wheel thing that's on the top of it, I tried using it a couple times and it's a pain. It's easier just to tap the screen and enter the frequencies that you want to use versus using the wheel. I mean, that's why I always have on my desk and in the case is a little stylus that makes it real easy to use. And you can even get a pen that has the stylus on the end of it where you just flip your pen over and you can use that. Makes it a lot easier than trying to use the wheel or even the switches.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jim.
LCK.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, Jim, a couple questions. You say it's on the website or will be on the website, the presentation.
This is Durbin.
Darren?
The presentation is already on the website under the resources tab.
Okay. It was hard to see the one slide with the background that it had, but did you indicate where the calibration standards could be obtained?
You can get them on Amazon. You can buy them when you buy the Nano VNA. Most every place that I've seen that sells the Nano VNA also sells additional standards. For example, the one that on the slide that's up right now, I made this all these calibration standards myself with just the SMA connectors and the PCB board. And when I made mine, obviously the open and short are easy. You just leave it open or short the inner and outer part of the coax. And the 50 ohm load standard, I use 200 ohm resistors in parallel, which gives you the 50 ohm. If you do that, and it's, I think I spent for all the parts and everything less than $5. And to buy a decent set of standards, you're looking at any $10, $15, $20 or more.
Okay.
And so if you have resistors or know someone that has some resistors, they can make you a fairly accurate standard. Mine, with the 200 ohm resistors I have, when I tested it with other equipment, it came out at 49.8 ohms, which is as close to 50 ohm as you're going to get without surface mount components.
So you've also got the tolerance of those parts too.
Yeah.
Higher tolerance resistors, you're going to have a better result at the end.
Yeah. I mean, so. And
the cable that you use to go to the tablet, it's USB to SMA?
Yeah, it's USB-C to go to the tablet. It has a USB-C to USB. So you have to have a USB port to plug it into your tablet. Let me see.
This is Durbin. I have a couple of questions. One is whether you compared the accuracy of your measurements over frequency with some other instrument.
Yes, I tested it again when I was doing the testing and everything with it. I tested against a standard antenna analyzer and a now I'm drawing a blanking out. But I tested against
spectrum analyzer or
yeah, the not Rig Blaster, but the
Rig Expert.
Yeah, Rig Expert. There we go. Couldn't think of the expert part. But I tested it against both of those and it was within 0.5% variation.
Dang.
This is N0TZU with a comment.
Yeah.
So I have the F version, and I can talk about that briefly, if that's all right.
Yeah, definitely.
So the F version is about $110 or so if you buy it directly from the guy who made it, who developed it. And it's his website. Actually, it's not a website. He's on AliExpress, DeepElec, DEPELEC is the name. I find it to be very useful with the larger screen because it makes it a lot easier to use, and I use it standalone quite a bit actually, and only hook it up to the computer once in a while depending on what I'm doing, and for going outside and or portable use around the shack or whatever, it's really nice having a larger screen. It is slightly different than the other versions. The processor is a little different. It's a different part number, and I don't think you can load the code for the H version or the smaller versions directly onto the F. However, the developer does have a code that's pretty well up to date with the other versions, but because there's a smaller user base at present, that tends to lag slightly. But otherwise, it's very capable. I mean, all the rest of the circuitry is essentially the same. One other thing I might mention is that the direct measurement capability using the fundamental of the output signal only goes up to about 300 megahertz. Above that, you're using a harmonic. The instrument uses a harmonic of the signal. So the accuracy and the dynamic range starts to fall off above about 300 megahertz. I haven't tried to really do too much with it above about 70 centimeters. So I can't address that from my experience, but certainly up through 70 centimeters, it's fine for any ham use. I think if you get up towards the 1 gigahertz or now I think, let's see, on the F version, I know they're up to 1.5 gigahertz. I think the dynamic range continues to fall off. I don't believe they've really changed the internal circuitry that much, if at all. I think it might be just mostly software changes. So that's all I had to say. Thanks.
Yeah, I got something to throw out there.
Hey, Jim, go ahead.
If you guys have 3D printers, there's a lot of cool little cases that can be made from, openware, free stuff. On this one's got a little thing you can put adapters in. But there's a lot of different 3D printed designs for cases because the sides on these are open if you have one, and this also protects that wheel pretty good too.
Hey, Jim, I've got a question.
Yeah.
You're using your own little calibration block. Don't you like the ones that came with it?
No, I they work fine for majority of the stuff. Like I say, the calibration standards that came with it are just little. Basically, they took the end of the SMA, and that's all it is.
Yeah, I'm well aware. I've got it.
I made this one and used my 3D printer to make the case that it's in that has everything labeled on it, which is a lot easier, and I'm not going to lose it. And it's the load portion is a lot more accurate. Like I said, it's the ones I tested were between the load was between 44 ohm up to 57 ohm on the three different sets that I tested. After that, I wanted something that was more accurate. I mean, going from 44 ohm to 50 ohm, you're not going to have much variation. I mean, it's close. I just wanted something a little bit more accurate.
Understandable. By the way, I want to mention one thing for the people who don't know what this thing is and think that they're going to buy it with an instruction manual. I don't know if you can see this. Let me knock off the background here. This is all it comes with.
Yeah.
And you're lucky you're going to get this. This is nothing more than a menu tracer, if you will, or structure, and that's it. I'll let you go on with that. They're an excellent tool for the price. You have to admit that.
Question?
Yeah, they really are. I've been impressed. You do have to spend some time going through and looking at some of the user groups if you're not familiar with how a VNA works. And you might actually spend some time reading up just on VNAs in general. But if you're familiar with how they work, then it's really quite an interesting tool. I just wanted to note, this is, I don't know if you can see this, this is the F version. And one of the other things you get besides the big screen for the extra money, the $110, is you do get a nice metal case with this, which I really like, because, you know, you get out in the yard with the antenna and you don't really have to worry about getting dirt inside of it or ordering a separate case.
Yeah, well, it's some of the newer ones, like this one, just the regular, the VNA-H, they're starting to put them in plastic cases. I know some of the earlier ones just have a top layer and a bottom layer with an open PCB in the middle with no protection at all, where a lot of the newer ones do come with in a case. And this one's just the ABS plastic. It's not metal, but it's definite improvement from the old ones.
Oh, that's good. One other thing I wanted to mention, and this applies to all of them, is, you know, these SMA connectors are not really designed for a lot of mates and unmate cycles. So what I've done is I've gotten some of these male to female adapters and put them on so that just dropped it on the floor. But anyway, that's what actually takes most of the wear now. And these are easily replaceable. And if you get them from a relatively cheap source like AliExpress or something, you know, some offshore manufacturing, they're very inexpensive. So I would highly recommend considering that, or considering using some short cables that you can also replace for very little money and save the wear and tear on the connectors of the unit itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely put something on. Like I say, and I have two of them now, one that I use and one that's in a box, just because when I was doing the testing, I wanted to get two of them just for the accuracy between them, to see if they were all close or the same. That's something I always do, buy multiple if I'm testing something, just to see if there's any variation between them. The one that I use all the time has the SMA standards, or not standards, but the connectors on it, just so I can, once I do use that for a while, I can take it off, put a new one on, and it's not damaging the one that's attached to the PCB board.
Question?
Yeah.
I noticed you were talking about putting it or connecting it to a computer. Do they make any iPad type interface?
iPad specific, I am not. I know people have done it a lot of time. You can, on the slide that's up right now, the bottom link, the groups.io for Nano VNA users, they have a lot of information on there. That is one place I would definitely recommend going. Someone on there has done it and can give you a lot better insight on how they did it versus me.
Thanks.
Did you want to comment about knockoffs and where to buy these?
Yeah. As far as where to buy them, I'm not going to, there's 1,000 different places. The guy that originally designed it did everything open source and free. Just about every company out there has made their own version of it. I would definitely recommend some of them you see that are $35-$40. I would stay away from those. Are the cheaper ones. To buy one, I would plan on spending at $55 and up, just because those are going to be the ones that are higher quality in general, and read the reviews from the company you buy it from. That's about the best information I can give as far as where to buy them, is just research who you're buying it from, just because there are thousands of knockoffs out there. I know one thing I have seen, that the ones that have the in the white case with the gecko on it, everyone I have talked to, with the exception of two people out of about 20, say stay away from those ones.
It's Phil Burke. I have a question.
Yeah.
Does it have a way of storing the information so that you can use it in the field and then take it back to the computer and view what you just did?
No. The only things that it will store are that you can calibrate it for a frequency range and save that calibration. As far as accuracy of it being, the calibration being saved is negligible. It does work if you save it for a day. If you pick it up a day later, I would recalibrate it, even though you have it saved. Single day use, I would. As storing the information, it doesn't store anything.
Okay. I purchased one through Amazon, $114. Just received it the other day, turned it on, and of course nothing would happen on the touchscreen. I tried and tried and tried, and it turns out that when they put the case on there, it was pushing on the touchscreen all the time. So if I flexed it just right, then it would work. So I'm going to take that case off and make sure it doesn't have something underneath the edge pushing on the screen. So if you receive one like that, be aware of that. That if you're not getting any response off that touchscreen, then it's good to just flex it and see if what's going on, and it could be just something under the edge of the case that's pushing on that screen.
Just I've even talked to a few people that the issue came down to whenever they're assembled, they have the plastic film over the screen and assemble it, and then peel the plastic film off. And that plastic film gets stuck underneath, and it's just enough to where it puts just enough pressure on that portion of the screen to where it won't work.
Right. Thanks.
Yep. Any other questions?
Just to note with that last question is, it's very rudimentary, but you can take a trace and stop the tracing. The sweep. So once you stop the sweep, it'll retain that on the screen. I've used that to do something outside and then come back inside and look at it. But I haven't tried to download that directly to the computer. So I'm not sure you can do that without causing it to start another sweep. But that's about the only thing you can do. But it is useful, at least in a very limited way.
Yeah. And if you sweep it and then leave it powered on without touching anything else or stop the sweep. But then as far as saving, I haven't found any way to save it or transfer it once it's done.
Right. Yeah. There's no data memory.
Yeah.
One more quick thing here, Jim. Phil Burke.
Yeah.
When you mentioned putting together your little decade box there for calibration, it's good to note, some people don't know this, but you need to use precision carbon resistors. You don't want to get anything that's wire wound because you're just adding inductance. So be sure to look for good precision carbon resistors if you're going to make your own decade.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely good resistors. I mean, the best ones are the surface mount resistors if you have them or find them anywhere without having to buy 1,000 at once. Their surface mount's definitely the way to go if you can.
Any other questions?
Joe?
No, that's what I was saying. Any other questions for Jim?
And if you have any questions, you can find me on the radio or ask on the TechNet. I know we'll be, now that we did the presentation, working on actually doing some videos for the YouTube channel to go through different step-by-step processes with it. Probably do a series of 5 to 10 minute videos for individual processes. So it'll be a little bit easier to watch than a half hour video going through three things. It'll be a specific step-by-step process.
Well, thank you very much, Jim, for doing that. Just a couple more announcements just to remind you.